the summer of 1989, just before I turned 6 years old, my family and I lived in a small duplex at the end of a cul-de-sac. We had lived there since I was about 1 or 2 years old. Our duplex was set back a ways from the street. There was a tiny driveway between our door and the street that we had shared with a few other duplexes, but it wasn't much longer than a typical driveway, just wider. We became close friends with a family that lived directly across the street. Their house was right up along the sidewalk in a single family home. They were an older man and woman whose youngest daughter still lived with them, and they also had custody of their young granddaughter due to some issues that their oldest daughter had with drugs. Their youngest daughter was a year older than my sister, and their granddaughter was just a little younger than me. It was nice to have someone closer to my age to play with. My sister is 4.5 years older than me and way too cool to hang out with a little kid. She was happy to have an older friend to hang out with too. Anyhow, we were always going over to each other's houses and they were more like extended family than friends. So when the older couple asked my mom to keep an eye on their house while they went out dancing, of course she obliged. Their daughter was babysitting the granddaughter, as she had done several times before, and they just wanted someone else that they trusted to keep an eye out. They had 3 big aggressive dogs out back that really only liked the older couple and would attack anyone else, so there wasn't much worry of intruders. It was a good neighborhood, and back then neighbors had keys to each other's houses, even though most rarely locked their doors. Every 20 or so minutes, my mom would call their house just to check in. It was just the usual.
Are you two okay? Need anything? Okay, I'll check back in a little while.
And then she would hang up. Now, before we proceed with the story, I should probably mention that their house was always very dark, and it had the feeling that the darkness wasn't just a lack of lighting, but more like a complete saturation of the shadows within it. I know it sounds weird, but I'm sure that some or most of you can relate. It seems we've all had an experience with a place like that at some point in our lives. After some time went by, my mom picked up the phone and dialed their number. It just rang and rang. Now, call waiting had just became a thing earlier that year, but not everyone had it, and none of us on that little dead-end street did. So my mom grew concerned, but she hung up and decided to wait a few minutes and then try again. Maybe they were using the bathroom or eating and couldn't get to the phone on time. As soon as she set the phone on the receiver, it rang. She jumped because she hadn't expected it. She lifted it and then answered.
Hello?
Static came from the other line, and it was loud. I remember her yanking the phone from her ear and then shouting into it.
Hello? Aileen? Is that you?
The static seemed to get louder and then more quiet, and then back to loud. I remember hearing the faint sounds of a child crying and a girl shouting back, but the static was too loud. My mom shouted into the receiver, still holding it about a foot from her face.
I'm gonna call right back. There's a bad connection.
Then she put down the phone. As she picked it up to redial, something caught my eye from out of our living room window. The window faced the tiny driveway that we shared with a few other duplexes in the street and ultimately the front of the house. I walked about 3 steps over to that window and looked across the street. Now remember, I'm almost 6 years old, so things don't immediately sink in for me at this age as being odd or out of the ordinary. I'm just seeing what I'm seeing. As I'm watching, the lights in the windows of the 2 front rooms are blinking wildly on and off. The porch light too. My mom was on her 3rd redial and putting her shoes on when I heard Aileen answer in a frantic state. I couldn't hear her exact words, but she was hysterical, and my mom just shouted over to stay there and she was going to come over there. She hung up and told me to lock the door after her. She shouted to my sister, who was listening to cassettes back in our room, that she'd be right back. She got the keys for their house and a baseball bat, and I followed her to the door where I promptly locked it after she stepped out. I went back to the window and watched her run across the driveway, which was gravel, across the road, through the little gate at their front yard, and then up the steps of the porch. The blinking stopped as soon as she crossed the threshold of their gate, with only the porch light remaining on. I watched as my mother tried desperately to open their wrought iron screen door. I could see her struggling with the doorknobs and alternating between yanking at the door and banging on it. She was standing with her legs apart to brace herself as she yanked and pulled on the door. Something at the bottom step of the porch caught my eye. A black shadow on all fours climbed out from the bushes that grew on either side of the porch steps. I was terrified, as I knew their three dogs were very vicious to anyone besides the older couple. It moved fluidly, unlike any dog I'd ever seen, and sort of slunk up the stairs. It seemed like it had bigger shoulders than any dog. But that was in retrospect, because at the time I was standing there, standing in horror, waiting to see my mom be attacked by this big black dog. She continued to bang and scream, and that's when it happened. The dog seemed to tiptoe slowly up to my mom and just disappear right through her legs and into the door, like it went right through the wrought iron and solid wood doors and was just gone. The lights flickered on and off again in the front rooms for a few seconds, and then suddenly the wrought iron door swung open and my mom fell back, nearly rolling backwards down the steps. She got up and went to work on getting the wood door open. She disappeared inside, leaving the door open, and was gone for a few good minutes. In that time, the wood door moved back and forth, but not like wind was pushing it. It seemed very choppy, almost glitchy if you could imagine that. I could see lights flickering on and off inside of the house, and I thought I saw a dark figure standing upright in the doorway when it had reopened all the way. I was staring so intently that when my mom emerged suddenly, carrying the granddaughter with Aileen following right behind, it really startled me. They ran across the road up the little driveway, and I hurried over to unlock the door for them. The girls were crying when everyone stumbled into our house. My mom was trying to calm down the granddaughter and trying to get answers from Aileen about what happened. My mom's face was white as a sheet, and her eyes were big. Looking back now, I can register the amount of fear she felt. Aileen was going on about how they were in the den at the back of the house watching a movie, and they heard something crash in the front room. There was a large area of wall that was opened up, sort of like a window, between the den and the kitchen. And the same thing from the kitchen to the front room created a sort of openness from the front area through the house to the den. Aileen said that when she stood up to look through to the front room, she saw a large black figure standing in the front room. It was huge, bigger than any man she'd ever seen, and he didn't seem fully solid. The lamp that lit the front room, its light wasn't completely blocked out by the figure. She could kind of see through it. She screamed and grabbed the granddaughter and ran into the bathroom that was off to the side of the den. She locked the door thinking it was an intruder and tried calling my mom from the phone in that bathroom. The phone was also a toilet paper holder. Yeah, the 80s were a strange time. She said that she couldn't get through at first, and that all she could hear was a deep voice laughing on the line. When she finally got through, though, it was laughing so loudly she didn't know if my mom could hear her shouting for help. This must have been the exact moment when my mom heard the static. When my mom was trying to redial and there was no answer, it was because they heard banging on the bathroom door. This bathroom had another door that led into one of the bedrooms, and even though she was terrified, Aileen led the little one into that room, locked the door to the bathroom, and then ran across to lock the other door that led to the hallway. She grabbed the phone in that room and took it into the closet and stacked several boxes in front of her and the little one, putting themselves as deep into the corner of that closet as possible. The phone rang and my mom answered it. It was Aileen hysterically trying to relay her message of fear through gasps and mumbled phrases. My mom just told her that she was on her way and left. She said that the whole time they waited in that closet, she could hear snarls and grunting and things breaking in other rooms. The dogs in the backyard were going wild, barking like crazy. She heard the door of the bedroom open and someone or something huge slowly walking toward the closet. She said the footsteps sounded loud and heavy, and she could hear very heavy breathing. Just then, the doorbell rang and she heard banging on the door. It was my mom desperately trying to get inside. She was way too terrified to move from the closet, so they waited until my mom got inside. She said it seemed like forever. My mom had gone into that house yelling for them and flickering lights on. When she got into the room they were in, they called out to her, and she dug them out of the closet and brought them back. I had just been quiet the whole time, just listening. I was waiting for my turn to speak. My mom got up and went to go get them some water and some tissues to wipe their tear-streaked faces. As they were sniffling, I decided that it was my turn to speak, and I asked, "Bun, what was that big dog, and why did it go through the door?" "What do you mean?" my mom replied. She had stopped walking midway back to the sofa where the girls were sitting at. I was still standing in the middle of the room. "When you were on the porch fighting with the door, I saw a huge black shadowy dog walk out of the bushes up the porch steps and through your legs. It then disappeared right through the door. How did you not see it? It was right there." I was pointing at the window in the direction of their house. Once more, the blood rushed from my mom's face and she nearly dropped the cup of water. I don't know what you mean. The dogs were in the backyard. I heard them barking," she replied, sounding as if her throat was dry as a desert. "It wasn't shaped like those dogs. Its shoulders were too big and it moved like smoke. It went right through your legs." I became frustrated that she wouldn't answer me. Why was she avoiding it? "Well, what was it, Mom? How did it crawl straight through the door?" She stood there frozen, tears welling up in her eyes. I don't know if she was afraid that I might be seeing things, or that she went into a dark house right after that thing. She finally blinked, a single tear rolling down that she quickly wiped away, and she handed the girl some tissues and a cup of water. She turned to me and looked at me in a way I'll never forget, and then simply said, "You saw nothing. You imagined it." And she continued consoling the girls. They called the bar that the older couple had gone dancing at and had them paged. When they called back, my mom explained what happened and they rushed home, police arriving soon after. The police searched the whole house and found nothing. No sign of forced entry, no person or people. There were many broken knickknacks and decorations throughout the house, as well as weird scratches on some walls and on the bathroom door that leads to the den. In the end, they just assumed it was an intruder. They said my mom must have scared them off when she came for the kids, and since they ran out leaving the door wide open, the suspects most likely just snuck away. Nothing was missing from the house. Since that day, I only mentioned to my mother one other time of seeing dark shadow people. She looked at me the same terrified way she had that night, and I never brought it up again. I hated that look. It made me feel wrong or bad. I started thinking about all of the absurd, unexplained things I'd seen for as long as I can remember. My earliest memories started around 2 years old, and I can remember lots of things like eyes staring back at me from dark corners, dark shadows during broad daylight, things disappearing and reappearing in other rooms or days later, or things moving in my peripheral vision. But I never knew that other people didn't see this stuff until that day. I'm an adult now, and I still fear the dark. I almost always have that feeling that something is watching me, but now I hesitate to look back. I fear what I might see, knowing since I was 6 years old that I shouldn't have seen that stuff at all. That hasn't stopped me from having dozens of other terrifying experiences and still seeing things that I can't explain. Maybe I'll share more sometime. I almost died when my mom gave birth to me. My heart slowed down so much they couldn't register it at all. My mother was almost rushed into emergency surgery when I finally came out, blue and unresponsive. They revived me, obviously. But I wonder if that brush with death opened my eyes to what's beyond this world. And now that they know I can see them, they make it a point to show themselves to me. When I was in the third grade, my family moved into this house in a really nice and quiet neighborhood. It had a big front yard and a gated backyard where we kept our dogs. A nice home to grow up in. Not soon after, we found out it was haunted. My sister and I didn't really know, but my mother had various experiences that led her to leaving Bibles under the bed open to specific scriptures and blessing all of the doors with a cross made from oil. Now, my sister and I would spend the night over at our cousin's house during the summer. Sometimes we'd go to his house, and sometimes he'd come to our house. One summer, he came and stayed with us. We were a few years older now and fully aware of the odd things going on in the house, but never had real experiences until after this incident. My cousin, my sister, and I turned the living room into our sleeping area. The TV was set up so we could watch movies and snack on popcorn, but eventually we slept on the floor with all of our blankets. It was in the middle of the night. I'm not sure what time it was exactly, but I remember my cousin waking me up because he had to go to the bathroom and didn't want to go alone. Being the oldest, of course, this was my duty. So we walked down the hall to the bathroom. Soon enough, we're back in the living room. Now, in the living room, one side led to the hallway where the bathroom and bedrooms were. The other side led to the kitchen, dining area, and door to the den. When we got back and got in our spots on the floor, we were facing the dining area where the door to the den was, which was wide open. From the door, the head of a clown appeared. My cousin and I sat there in complete shock because we were having a hard time understanding what was going on. The face was so frightening with such a weird grin and evil eyes. It looked straight at us and passed through the dining room, floating toward us. The closer it got, the bigger the head got. We were frozen in fright. But the moment the head was fully inside of the living room, on the other side where the doorway to the hall was, appeared a woman. She had long black hair. Her face was blurred so we couldn't really see who she was. She had a long blue or purple dress and held a lit candle in her hands. Just like my cousin and I noticed her, so did the clown, who now grew a full body and walked back through the dining room and then disappeared into the den. Once he was gone, she was gone too. This all happened so fast that we both just looked at each other in disbelief, but we knew that we both experienced it together. The very next morning, we had told my mom about what happened. Of course, she believed us, but she said that we had been protected by an angel. After that, we had a lot more experiences with ghosts. Beds shaking, shadows walking by, disembodied voices, a pillow being pulled from under me, even an experience of sleep paralysis. We lived in that house for years and just really adapted to the ghost experiences until we were eventually forced to move. But by that time, I was in my 20s. Since moving out, I haven't had any more experiences with ghosts like I did in that house. But I always wonder if the people living there now are going through the same things we did. Who really knows, though? I won't give my name or location specifics, but you can call me Pops, and I live in the U.S. I've been listening to these channels for a while now, and I want to submit some of my own creepy experiences I had growing up in my childhood home. I'll first start off with an experience that was surely bizarre, yet in the end also a bit humorous. As it's been a long time ago, I'm 36 now, and this was likely in my teens, as many of these experiences are. I do remember waking up for whatever reason and looking at my bedroom door, which was open. I don't remember if something drew my attention or I was just scanning the room, but I saw something odd. At the bottom of the door, peeking around the side, was a cat looking back at me. Now, I've always had cats growing up, but this one was not mine. I want to say that it was white, but I can't be 100% sure. Confused, I got up from bed and started toward it. It naturally ran. Thinking that a door might be open or a window had torn a screen, I ran out to investigate. Right outside my bedroom was a very small laundry room which led into the kitchen. Just a couple of feet from the laundry room door was my back door. As I stepped into the kitchen, I saw through the shut and locked back door that the cat was fleeing across my back deck. The back door had glass panels so I could easily see through it. I believe I just found it odd and just shrugged it off and went to bed. I never found a torn screen or open window or anything that it could have entered and exited from. Now things started to get a bit creepier. An experience I often had was hearing voices and mumbling and a woman singing. This was always as I lay in the dark trying to fall asleep. The voices sounded as if they were far off, somewhere in the background. I couldn't make out any words, but it was obvious it was people conversing. It's very unlikely it was my parents, as they were always sound asleep across the house this time, and it sounded like more than two people. It was scary, but I never felt threatened, just weirded out. The lady was a bit different. Again, I didn't feel threatened, but her voice just sounded so melancholy, as if when she sang, she did with such great sorrow. I knew for sure this couldn't have been my mom. It scared me at first, but after a while, I became more used to it. It got to where the murmurs were more annoying and the singing made me feel sad. I have two more experiences I would like to share, and these are the ones that really terrified me. The first one probably happened sometime when I was in middle school. I was in bed and in that floating state where I wasn't fully asleep but wasn't fully conscious either, when you have just enough awareness to be aware but not realize it. Suddenly and involuntarily, I jolted up, staring once again at my bedroom door. There was a mirror on the wall close to the door, and in it I could see a figure reflected, standing in my bedroom door. The figure looked dirty and nasty, almost like the color of rust and dirt mixed together. All I could really see was its head. The best way I can describe its hair, or at least what I made out to be its hair, was like several neck-length dreads in small sickle shapes. It's hard to describe. The dreads in his hair just narrowed into a point like a sickle. It just stood there, slowly nodding its head up and down. Its hair covered its eyes, and its face was too dirty to make out any real features. I think I saw a mouth, but I can't be completely sure. I was frozen with fear, and I couldn't move until finally it just vanished. Again, I know it couldn't have been one of my parents. They wouldn't have pulled such a prank in the first place, and they would have needed to step backwards in order to get out of sight, not being able to simply disappear. I know a lot of people will chalk this up to sleep paralysis, but I don't believe that's what this was. I've never had any type of sleep paralysis before or after, and I've never heard of someone actually being able to move before becoming overtaken by fear, rendered unable to move. This was also before YouTube, and therefore way before sleep paralysis became such a well-known phenomenon. I didn't get up afterwards or try to get my parents or anything. Somehow, I just made myself fall back asleep. The final experience I want to share was one day when I awoke. I had the day off, and it was a summer day, or at least a warm enough day to spend outdoors. Therefore, I wanted to get out and hang out with a friend that I've known for pretty much all my life. This was back before cell phones that weren't those comically bulky ones businessmen kept in their cars. Therefore, I had to use a landline. However, when I picked the receiver up, there was no dial tone. The phones were mostly all cordless by then, so I figured one of my parents, who were away at the time, had accidentally left one off the hook. Not thinking much of it, I went around but couldn't see any that were readily visibly off the hook. Again, I didn't think much of it and figured one was not quite set fully in the cradle and just looked like it was. However, upon checking each phone by putting it up to my ear, there was still no dial tone, and I knew the phone service wasn't down. I finally found a phone which was clearly out of the cradle in the computer room. This did make me feel a bit uncomfortable, but I was able to chalk it up to simply having been a bit tired, still having recently awoken and simply not noticing at first. That is, until right as I put the phone back in the cradle, I heard a sound from downstairs that sounded as if someone was moving around. It was way too big to be any of the cats or any other animal that could have feasibly made its way into the basement. Knowing there could be a logical explanation, but also fearing it could be an intruder, I set about getting a large knife from the kitchen and starting to head down into the basement. I opened the basement door and proceeded to switch on the light at the top of the stairs. It was and still is one of those pull cord lights. This lit up the stairs, but the interior of the basement was still dark beyond the foot of the stairs. Planning to slowly and cautiously make my way down into the basement while turning on each light as I got there, I was just about to start down the stairs when I could clearly hear something furiously charging up them. I could hear each pounding step thundering on each stair. However, even as the stairs were clearly lit, I could see no one. I could literally hear them on the stairs running right at me, but no one was there. All of my bravery evaporated at that point, and I turned and ran from the house via the front door. When I did so, my friend I was originally trying to call was sitting on a log across the road. He looked at me puzzled as I ran into the house, so I ran over to him, calmed myself down, and then told him what happened. I know for sure it couldn't have been him. There was no way he could have gotten into my locked basement, ran up the stairs, but somehow have been invisible, then get out of my basement, lock it back up, and then get across the street before I can make the short dash out of my house. There's just no way he could have done that. So yeah, these are my stories, and I still have no idea what it was. Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com, or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember to always stay.